Christ, we thank you for his love and his provision. We thank you for the privilege of serving him, and we pray that we might serve him in a way that would bring glory and honor and praise to him. In Jesus' name. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have seen that God the Holy Spirit gives to each man spiritual gifts that save. We're by that same Spirit baptized into the body of Christ, which means we're saved. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism that saves us. We saw that. We saw that he gives each person a spiritual gift in verse 11 and verse 18. It tells us there that the Holy Spirit sets each person in the body as it pleases him. And he gives us those gifts as it pleases him. And we are to exercise those gifts. We are. There's no such thing as an unimportant gift. They're all important. Even the ones that are feeble are necessary. The ones that are not as handsome or not as showy are still important and still very, very helpful and necessary. And in verse 24, God has tempered the body together. He has glued it all together, and he's put it all together with a certain consistency for the good. There's no division. There should be no divisions or schisms in the body. There are gifts that have more authority than others, as he says in verse 28. He set them there, first apostles, second prophets, and so on and so forth. No one has all the gifts, he says in verse 29 and 30. All are not apostles, all are not prophets. Now, this will be very important in the days in which we live to understand that everybody doesn't have the gift of apostleship, everybody doesn't have the gift of prophet, everybody doesn't have the gift of teacher or miracles or healings or helps or governments or diversities of tongues. Everybody does not have that gift, those gifts, all of them. We all have one, but we don't anybody have all of them. Then he says in verse 31 a very significant statement, and the better rendering should be, you are coveting the better gifts or the more important gifts or the showy gifts, we would say there. Yet I show you a more excellent way. There's a better way than having a showy gift or a gift that's, dynamic, we'll say. There's some players on teams that are very dynamic. There are some football players, basketball players. There are some on any kind of a team that you have that are very outstanding. But when you have an outstanding player and that player is not under the control of the coach and not going according to the game plan, how successful will that person be as far as the team is concerned? How much help will he give, or she, whichever it happens to be? If you're not playing with the rest of them and you're not in your position doing your job, then you are more hindrance than you are help. The same thing is true in Christianity. We are a team. We are a unit. There's not to be any divisions when you divide up and decide to fight against each other. Then you're not going to get anything done. You're completely neutralized. Now, there are certain things that we can fight for. There are certain things that we ought to contend for. There are certain things you ought to make up your mind to die for. And I made up my mind a long time ago what I'd die for. I would not be part of any church, anywhere, under any circumstance, I don't care what it is, that did not present the gospel clear. I'll die for it. If you cloud up the issue in any kind of way, I'm not going to have any part of it. I made my mind up to that over 15 years ago. And if I live another 50 years, it's going to be the same way. I made up my mind that the Bible is the Word of God, and I'll die for it. This is God's word, and whatever says is so, and I'll not deviate from this. If you want to, that's fine. That's your privilege. But you'll not teach in this church as long as I pastor. And if you don't believe the Word of God and you are teaching, you need to hand in your resignation this afternoon as soon as we dismiss. Because this is the Word of God. And we're going to stay there. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That's important. Those things we die for, they are other things that are unimportant. They're things that don't have to do with the vital issues. And we don't want to divide on those unimportant things. We want to keep the main things in the main place and not have divisions. And you know, the only way we can do that is to love each other, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is the more excellent way, is the being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, there aren't any of you in this room today that see all of the Bible exactly alike. And I realize when I stand here and I'm preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I realize there are those of you who disagree with me on some things. In fact, I'm sure everybody in this room, if you are listening at all and you are studying or thinking at all, there are times when you'll disagree with me on some things, and that's perfectly all right. I don't mind that a bit, if it's not vital. If it has nothing to do with the jugular vein. If it hasn't had to do with that which will just crush out Jesus Christ getting all the glory and the praise and the honor. And when we get to those kind of things, then that's a different problem. There is a more excellent way, though. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, it begins into this. He says, we looked at this a little bit last Sunday morning in closing. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And we said that sounding bronze there was like the ice cream fella who has the little truck and he goes around and he rings the little bell, you know, and the kids come flying out. And they just fill the street up in the summertime going out to get their ice cream. Well, back in those days, they had people who had rolling stores. And that rolling store would come to your door and he would ring this little bell and they'd come out and get the wares. Well, that little bell was designed so it would penetrate into a house. And even it didn't make any difference how loud the kids were hollering, how much fighting was going on, what was happening. When he was coming down the street, you could hear him a long ways off so that the people would know it wouldn't miss the store when he went by. Then it says a tinkling cymbal. This has to do with professional mourners. Back in those days when somebody died, the husband died, the wife would go out on the front porch, she would pull her hair out. This would help her to cry a little more, I suppose. Maybe that's the only way she could cry over the man that she had just left her. But anyway, she would go out there and she would begin to pull out her hair and she would begin to mourn over this and cry. And then one of the servants would go down to the local place and hire some mourners to come back to the house, and they would sit there and they would holler and moan and groan over the one who had died. Well, that's what this little word here, tinkling cymbal, is. It's those professional mourners who are coming there to cry. And he says, though, if you can speak with the tongue of men and angels, and you do not have love, then you are just like one of those professional mourners. Just, you know, just going through some motions that have no meaning at all whatsoever. And this is the way it is. Now, let's put a little graphed up here, and we're talking about speaking here, so I'm just going to put the little word say here. Now, he says, if I speak with the tongues, or I say with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I am what? Zero, zero, zero. And then in the second verse, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, so we're going to put a little P up here for prophecy. And he says, and understand all mysteries, and we'll put a little M here for mystery. And then he says, and all knowledge, and we'll put a K there for knowledge. What? And though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, I am what? Zero, zero, zero. Now what do you have?
Zero, zero, zero. Just a bunch of zeros. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Okay, we are sacrificing, or we are a martyr. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, I'm what? Still zero, zero, zero. But now you put love in front of all that, and what do you have? You see the difference? All you've got to do is have something that is a number. And it makes all those zeros something. In fact, you see what kind of power it has. And this is what Paul is saying here to these people. He says, we can talk and we can talk and we can talk. But all the talking that we do, and it doesn't matter if we have all the rhetoric in the world and we are the best speaker there ever was, and we're just as polished as we can possibly be. We are so polished that we can speak as an angel speaks, and I don't really know how that is because I never ever heard one speak. But apparently it must be pretty nice. Paul might have. I don't know. He was up in third heaven one time. And he might have heard somebody up there speaking, or one of those angels. I'm not sure. But apparently they did, had the reputation of speaking well. Even though he had the gift of prophecy, he can foretell the future and he can foretell. He can understand all the mysteries in the Word of God and just really be able to spit out the Word of God as far as the mysteries are concerned. He's got all the knowledge and he can put all this together, and he's got the faith so that he can remove them out, which would be the gift of faith. You know, all of us have faith, but then there are those who have faith that can move mountains. And he says, even though I have that kind of faith and have not love, I am nothing. Now you see, I can say nothing. I am nothing here. And then I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I give everything that I have to feed to the poor. And I give my body to be burned. I will even be a martyr. And I have not love, notice, profiteth, it gains nothing. You know, if you put money in the collection plate and you don't do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ or you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then what happens? God said you didn't put it in there. This is exactly what happened to the widow and the mite. You know, she had all those people there that were coming, and they were just putting money in the collection plate, going and coming. And they did it to be seen of everybody else. And they did it for one reason or another. But she came along and she loved God so much and she gave what she had. And God says what? I count this. I count that little mite. Because that person did it because of their love for me, and she gave what she had. These were to be seen. These were the showy kind. These were the kind who wanted everybody to look at them and see what a wonderful person they are. And what does God say? Zero without the one in front of it. We've got to be controlled by God the Holy Spirit. And you know, we have talked about this often. The spiritual Christian is the one who is walking in love. Remember, God the Holy Spirit is the one who produces the love in our life. You cannot produce this love yourself. And when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, He's going to glorify Christ. He says, when the Holy Spirit's come, He'll glorify me. In the Old Testament, in the whole Old Testament, say, here's the Christian here. And the Holy Spirit was outside of. He was a paraclete. He was alongside of to help the Christian. Now, this is the saved in the Old Testament. Now, when we trust Jesus Christ, our Savior, God, the Holy Spirit comes inside. And there's a big difference. And when He is inside of us, He not only gives us guidance and direction, but He gives us power to produce this love that He's talking about here. And when we're walking in love, or we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's going to be producing His fruit inside. Well, he says here, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Then
He is inside of your body, then he will go and produce the fruit. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. We mentioned before. We have this new commandment. And if you don't have these things down and you aren't using these things, these principles, day by day, you need to put this down somewhere on the back of your bulletin and start exercising these things. Walking in the light, walking in the Word of God, doing what the Word of God says. We have this new commandment, which is we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The flesh couldn't do it, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, we can glorify Christ. And Christ will be at home in our body. Christ will be glorified in our body. Christ will be formed in our body. When we are controlled by God the Holy Spirit, or we're walking in love, as he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you want to say nothing, you can accumulate all the facts of the Word of God. And a lot of times I'm afraid today, conservative Christianity is what the big thing we have emphasized, and we certainly need to emphasize this today because it has been so underemphasized in the past, a knowledge of the Word of God. When I was a kid, they emphasized that you could not know the Bible. They would not discuss the Bible. They would not talk about the Word of God. They did not teach the Word of God. They taught us everything else practically. But as far as teaching the Word of God, they taught us about it. But as far as really and truly teaching us the Word of God, where we could take it and make it applicable to our life and put it down in shoe leather form, that was not done when I was a kid. Now, today, we try to do this. But so often we miss this vital part that makes it to the place where it really and truly counts, and that is by love. It's all bathed in love or the control of the Holy Spirit so that each person is not only equipped to do the job that they are called to do, not only do they know where their place is or they are doing their thing, but they're controlled by the Holy Spirit and bathed in love so it really amounts to something. We have so many programs in our churches sometimes and people are getting you can get them excited about a program and get so busy doing things that we forget to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And what is it? Nothing. It's just wood, hay, and stubble, as Paul has mentioned in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Well, we can have the gift of prophecy. We can understand the mysteries. We can have the knowledge. And if they're and have faith, we can remove mouth, but we've got to have love. Otherwise, we are nothing. Nothing. And if I bestow my goods to feed the poor, give everything that I have. And boy, we've got a lot of giveaway programs these days, haven't we? But this is just the mechanical thing. This is the government doing it. And when you have something like this that's not bathed in love, what happens? Well, the people that you're giving to want more and more and more. And then if you stop giving, they want to cut your throat. You want to start a real rebellion in this country today? I can tell you how to do it real quick. Just cut off all welfare today. And I guarantee you tomorrow will be better. Guarantee you. Don't try. We're going to do it. Let's ease out of it. Because we don't want to completely tear our country apart. Well, I give all my goods to feed the poor. We certainly ought to help try to take care of poor folks. Though I give my body to be burned. I'm to the place where I'm going to be a martyr. And there are a lot of people in Paul's day, several people who martyred themselves. They would have a cause and they would stack up a bunch of wood, they'd get on top and tell somebody to light the fire. We've had some people do that in our day. For a cause, they've had themselves burned at the stake. But Paul says, if you do that even, you give your body to be burned, then it still profiteth nothing. Why? Because love
suffereth long. And this word suffering long here is like a fire that's stretched out, not just a burst of flame. This is the word. Love is long suffering. Love is fire that keeps on burning. Now, you know, a lot of times we think we have fallen in love and we do have some kind of compassion, or maybe I should say passion. And it's sort of a short burst. But the control of the Holy Spirit and the love that He puts there just keeps on, keeps on, keeps on burning. And it doesn't matter about what's going on the outside or who that love is going to. You see, God, when He had love, here we are. And we are enemies of God. We are alien against God. We hated God. But God's love, what? Kept on burning. God kept on loving us. Even when we were enemies, Paul says. Even when we are alien against Him. His love burned on and on and on and on. All through the ages. All the way from Adam down till He manifested His love 2,000 years ago approximately by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And so He demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, He died for us and paid for our sin. He demonstrated His love in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, see, we're thinking about a lot about Christ coming to the earth the first time at this season of the year. The babe born in a manger. That's not just facts. That's not just Christmas. That's God showing His love to us. That's God manifesting His love in flesh and blood. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. You know, so often we say little sharp things. So often we say little cutting remarks. So often we gossip about somebody. Well, when we do those things, we know immediately where they came from. They didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because love is kind. Love is not harsh. Love is not hard-hearted. Love is not stiff-necked. Love is kind. Love endeth not. You know how easy it is to have that old green-eyed monster where we want everything that everybody else has. You know, there are those today who have a certain spiritual gift, or they say they do. And they say, you know, if you don't have the gift that I've got, you're a second rate. And they look down their nose at people who don't have their particular gift. Now, the Word of God says, love is kind and it does not envy. And it is not, it vaunteth not itself. The word to vaunteth not itself, it means doesn't try to improve others, or impress others, excuse me. Doesn't try to impress others. You know, there are those who always want to impress you as to their, maybe their knowledge of the Word of God, or to impress you in the way they look, or impress you by the people they know even. You know, you ever see these name droppers? I saw so-and-so yesterday. I talked to the president or whatever. Well, they don't try to impress. You know, if I have anything at all, where did I get it from? Okay, from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Well, what have I got to be conceited about? If I do have something, that could impress somebody else. Where did he come from? God gave it to me by his grace. And you know, God has given you, and he's given us all, that which he wants us to have. And the problem is not that we don't have sufficient. It's just that we don't use what we do have. So, it doesn't try to impress others. It's not puffed up. Love's not puffed up. I'm sure Paul must have been thinking about Aesop's fable in that day. You know Aesop's fable. This little frog was down there on the pond. And this little frog grew and grew and grew, and finally he got lungs like, you know, the opera singer. And boy, he could just croak, and he'd be heard all the, not only all around the pond, but all in the meadow around. And anybody that came along and they began to croak a little bit, he'd out croak them all. And some, if he just had to just puff himself up till he almost popped, he would do it to be able to croak loud enough. And one day a cow came up to the pond to get some water. He looked at that cow and he said, "Boy, where'd that come from? I've never seen a frog like that before." And he tried to outdo the cow. And so he puffed himself up and puffed himself up till finally, what? Poop. Popped wide open. Well, love doesn't puff itself up. Doesn't try to play king of the mountain. Doesn't try to be bigger than everybody else. You know, we always want to be the king of the mountain. I can remember playing that when I was a kid. Well, that's all right, I suppose, for kids. But what Paul is trying to get us all to realize is that where God has placed us, that's where he wants us. That's where we'll be the happiest. And that's where we'll be the most useful to him, and we'll have more fulfillment within ourselves. We'll realize that we're doing what God wants us to do, wherever it is he wants us, playing our position. Verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It does not shame or embarrass or belittle us. Love just won't do that. I've seen husbands do wives that way. I've seen wives do husbands that way. I've seen parents do kids, children that way. I've seen friends do other friends, or so-called friends do so-called friends that way. But it doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. It doesn't seek its own benefit. You know, God has given us a spiritual gift, what? For profit. He's already mentioned that he gave us that to profit. Now, the word to profit there, he's talking about to profit for the what? The church. And our spiritual gift is not given to us for our own benefit. Remember when we first started out talking about spiritual gifts, we said that spiritual gifts was for the purpose of edifying the church, for building up other Christians. And when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will not be for our self-edification. It will be for the profit of others. And he's going to talk about this more in the 14th chapter. And yet we have a lot of people today who are using their spiritual gifts, they say, for their own edification. Well, that seems a little contrary to what he's talking about here, when it says that love seeks not its own, its own self-edification. Now, love seeks to help the others. Love is giving. Love is going out. It's not bringing in.
we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will be giving, not trying to always get. God manifested His love in giving, not getting. Well, love seeks not its own, is not easily provoked. Oh, how easy we are to lose our temper. Now, I realize that most of you do not have a temper at all, or very little. Some of us do. Some of us have a temper that's sort of hair trigger, you know. It doesn't take very much to set it off. And boy, we can really give people a piece of our mind very easily and very quickly. Just no problems at all. Well, we also know when we are easily provoked, we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're just being controlled by the old sin nature. We've been controlled by ourselves, not by God the Holy Spirit. Thinketh no evil. This is speaking about thinking no evil of others. You know, it's mighty easy to want to go around and snoop into other people's business, trying to find out what they're doing wrong and try to straighten them out. You know, we have the parable about the beam and the moat. Well, this is what he's talking about. We don't think, trying to think evil of others, trying to straighten everybody else out. You know, if we could just keep our number one person straightened out, we'll have our hands full. And love doesn't try to think evil of the other person. They have their responsibility. They have their father. And you know, I found out a long time ago that God can take care of His children a whole lot better than anybody else can. I can take care of mine better than you can. I've got two. And you know, if I need some help, I'll ask for it. I will. If I get to the place where I can't handle those two, well, I'll ask you. Now, if you have them in a Sunday school class and they misbehave, you have my permission to wear them out. Do whatever it takes to make them behave. Now, you know, I don't allow people to talk while I'm speaking. While you're speaking, you know, you don't have to. It's because he's a preacher's kid. That doesn't mean they have a right to run over you. But when it comes down to handling them, I think I can handle that job. And you know, I'm not yet as good a parent as God is. And you know, He handles me pretty good. He's been doing it for over 20 years. And He might not have done the best job. No, He's done a whole lot better job than you can do. So let's let God handle His job, and let's not be going around thinking so much evil of other people. Let God handle that. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity. You know, so often there are certain little things that we like to do that are wrong. I mean, it's just wrong, and we know it's wrong, but we want to do it anyway. And we find somebody else who is doing those wrong things, and so we just sort of line up with them, and we get to running around with them, and we get to doing those things that they are doing, and we just rejoice that we have found somebody who's willing to do what we want to do, and they'll have somebody to do it with us. Well, just because somebody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And God is going to spank you just as quickly if 50 people are doing it, or every person in this church is doing it. If it's wrong, He's going to spank you just as quickly. So, not rejoiceth in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Oh, listen. Does the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God excite you? Do you rejoice in what you have found out from God's Word? If you have never learned a truth from the Word of God that has made you rejoice, I feel real sorry for you. Some of the happiest times in my life, some of the greatest thrills that I've ever had, and I've been a lot of places and I've done a lot of things, but some of the greatest thrills of my life is sitting down and reading the Word of God and finding out truths from God's Word. See, I'm not very easily excited. But I have been so excited about God's Word, I literally could not remain seated at my desk studying. I just had to get up and had to walk around. I had to leave that room. I felt like I was going to pop wide open. I felt like I was going to be like the little frog in Aesop's fable. Because of some of the truths of the Word of God. And when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and we begin to learn these truths, they'll be rejoicing inside. Now, when you realize that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're going to hell, and that Jesus Christ has washed away all your sins, and you'll never have to be accountable for that. You'll never have to stand before Him and He's going to point His finger at you and say, condemn, condemn, condemn. But He's going to say, pass on into heaven. You have my right. Boy, that excited me. And there are the truths that I am literally a child of God. I am the child of the Creator of the universe. I'm His own personal son. He's just as much my father as C.C. Clark was. He loves me more than C.C. Charles Carson Clark did. And He knows and cares every little thing. If that won't excite you, then you've got your eyes on the world and material things so much that you're completely blind. But when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, there will be a rejoicing in the truths of the Word of God. I realize there's some things there that point out to me where, boy, you really blew it there in that part. But it's still a joy to know when I do wrong and to know that there's a power within me that can give me the power not to do those things but to do the right thing. Well, love rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Bears all things. Love is the umbrella that protects. Believes all things. We don't have to regard, say, people with suspicion. Hopes all things. The future. We've got a good grasp on the future. We can hope for that which is in the future. Endures all things. Love is not removed. It will keep on keeping on. It will keep on doing that. Now, a person who's not controlled by the Holy Spirit, boy, this is some kind of standard here. A person who does not have God the Holy Spirit inside cannot produce all of this and cannot have these attitudes. And they are just the zeros. Or a person who is born again. But they're just sitting on the sideline. And by the way, just sitting and not actually being controlled by the Holy Spirit, actively doing what He wants you to do, is just as bad as actively doing what He tells you not to. There's no difference. And there's just as much discipline for one as it is for the other. And this is the reason why so many Christians don't realize or wonder why things don't go so well for them. They are Sunday morning Christians. As Wayne Neal said, they're the nod to God crowd on Sunday morning. They go there and they sit and they just sort of nod, you know, back and forth, just have a hard time staying awake. They aren't interested in what the Word of God has to say. And they want to be entertained and want to smile a couple of times while they're there. And they want you know, maybe to hire a preacher to entertain them enough where he'd be like they are on television, you know, where you pay the entertainers thousands of dollars to give you a little smile to now and then. And if they don't do that, well then, you know, I wish I'd have stayed home and watched that favorite program of mine on Sunday night. Well, that's hard to compete with. When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, then there's an inner joy and an inner peace that can nothing take away. You know, God has given us the Word of God so we can, and certain checkpoints where we can check our lives to see where we are. And you know, He has told us here about these things, and we need to look at these each individual things. He told us what love is not, and then He told us some of the things that love is. Love is long-suffering. Is there long-suffering in your life? Are you patient with others? Are you kind? Are you envious? Are you always trying to impress others? Are you puffed up like a bullfrog? Are you always seeking your own? Are you always belittling other people? Are you easily provoked? Do you think evil of others? Do you rejoice in iniquity? Do you rejoice in the Word of God? Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. Is this the characteristics of your life? Now, you know, no one can really know, but you can. Are you a bunch of zeros? Is your life just canceled out? Is it wood, hay, and stubble going up in smoke? Or is there production there? Well, listen, God wants production. God wants inner joy and inner happiness and inner peace. God wants you to be able to rejoice in all things. But we can't if we're caught. If we aren't walking by these principles here, if this not the motives of our life to glorify Christ, if it's not happening on the inside, if we're not walking in the light and doing what God tells us to do, if we do not understand the new covenant that we're to walk by the Spirit, the law couldn't make us right, but the Holy Spirit inside could. So that Christ is at home. Christ is relaxed inside. Christ is magnified in your body. And Christ is formed in your body. Oh, listen. When these things are true, there's a tremendous life. There will be production. And this is what God wants for us. Now, maybe this morning you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you have heard about Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard the gospel over and over again. But some kind of way it just really hasn't clicked for you. Well, I want you to understand that on the 25th of this month, we are celebrating, and the world, basically, the world is celebrating the birth of a man called Jesus Christ. Now, he must be a pretty important person for the whole world to celebrate his birthday. You know, my birthday comes and goes, and my mama always remembers. My wife usually doesn't. She never knows what day it is, and I never tell her. Usually somebody, they call me off at one of the restaurants, and they have a little cake, and we sing, and that's about it. But you know, the whole world doesn't get excited about my birthday. Why, there are people in this world that don't even know I was born. And couldn't care less. But here's a man who was born.